ladies and gentlemen. Doc White here, your host of the Conservative Underground, proud to be humble, common man, common sense, taking on all of the issues of the day with an unapologetic, true conservative approach. I'm a proud Reagan conservative, charter member of the Great Silent Majority, and I'm fighting against the loony left and at times, it seems, the establishment right and all of their efforts to move the republic closer to a Euro-style socialistic state. It's a republic if we can keep it, and that's what I'm fighting for. I was conservative, baby, before conservatives were cool. Sit back and relax. I'll do all the work today on this podcast of the Conservative Underground. Well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining me on this edition of the Conservative Underground. As I say, Doc White here, and I do apologize for the significant gaps recently, the last couple of months, in between podcasts. The goal here is to do an hour podcast 5 days a week. Well, now we're averaging about an hour's podcast once a month, but I am here today. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I am broadcasting from beautiful and picturesque Broadcast Park here, perched high atop it all in the posh Studio A today. We are not bunkered in, as we have been in the past, to try to avoid NSA detection and spying and drones and all of these other things by the Obama administration, Imperial Obama administration, nevertheless... But I am here today, and thank you very
much. Well, look me over.
Yes, and thank you to Liberace for joining us here today as well. So we have a lot on the agenda, so I'll have to get right to it. First up today, as simple as this. This would be considered, without a doubt, the big three for the day. The Obamacare rollout, what a disaster that has been for this administration. An absolute disaster. Now, Consumer Reports is out saying, this is the magazine that publishes reviews of consumer products and services. And it kind of tells you what's good and what's not recommended products to buy. I'm not exactly sure why you would take the advice of a magazine on something like that. But, in any event, it is a recognized publication. They're telling their readers to avoid the federal health care exchange for as long as you can. Now, 9.47 million people tried signing up in the first week in Obamacare. Of that, only 271,000 actually managed to create an account. I'm citing National Review here on that statistic, but also on my Facebook page of the Conservative Underground, I linked an article, and I'll do it again show notes here, that of the 271 that were able to create an account, only a range estimate from 36 to 50,000 were able to even enroll in the program. That's nationwide. So that is the demand out there for Obamacare, about a city the size of a decent-sized metropolitan city at a 300 million people, about 50,000. 50,000 is the unofficial government estimate. Of course, the Obama administration, the Obamina administration, and several other HHS, Health and Human Services, they're not telling us how many people are signing up for Obamacare. But in fact, the unofficial estimates do not resemble anything what we were led to believe would be the demand. And of that 9 million people who tried signing up and visited the site, how many of those were just gawkers? What's all this about, you know? So the curiosity amongst the desire to actually use this government entitlement is a little bit inconsistent. So Consumer Reports is telling people to stay away from the Obamacare website. The magazine released a string of reviews on October the 1st the day that the exchanges went online, they told people to be patient and don't worry if you can't sign up today or in the next couple of weeks. Then a week into the enrollment, they urged people again to wait a couple of weeks and hope that the site irons out its many problems. Because, as they say it, healthcare.gov is barely operational. Now, this is 3 years the government had to put this together, and this is what they've come up with. Then, as the editors of Consumer Reports continued to review the website, the only positive statement that they were able to make was, on the plus side, consumers heading to healthcare.gov are no longer stopped cold by an error message or a screen saying that they've been put in a waiting line. Now, 3 weeks into the Obamacare experiment, Consumer Reports said that the problems and the demand are too much for the site to absorb and to stay away from healthcare.gov, of course, at least for the time being. So that's the Obamacare rollout. It's been a failure. And also, additionally, I've read reports online that insurance companies are a bit concerned about the information that they're getting from healthcare.gov on people who have signed up for their policies, meaning that the forms are incomplete. There's not enough data for the insurance companies to process to enroll somebody. So if you are one of the lucky 50,000 people in the country who were able to create an account and enroll into Obamacare in the first 3 weeks here, you may or may not even have insurance coverage. I'm hearing from my spies that insurance companies are fearing that they may have to actually manually enter some of this information to within their own systems because what the government's providing them is incomplete and not even compatible to what they use. Additionally, part of the website's problems, again, that I'm hearing from my spies out there, is that there's a big shell game going on. The Obama people are trying to hide from you the true cost of healthcare under this program. And what we all know is true, that Obamacare is increasing healthcare plans for the average American person. Premiums are going up, deductibles are going up, quality is going down. So when you go onto the site and you have to create an account, you have to enter in a whole bunch of personal information to see if you qualify for an IRS, Internal Revenue System, sanctioned tax credit. And if you qualify for the tax credit, they're going to tell you how much the plans cost, and then you can do your shopping at their marketplaces. Well, the problem is that's just too much data for a site to handle up front. And it was explained to me by my spies that, you know, if you go to Amazon.com or eBay or someplace like that, you can browse their site to see what they have to offer. And then once you buy the product, you have the option of creating an account or not. They don't want everyone who shows up on the site to create an account before they even shop around. Apparently, and I'm not a computer expert, that's just not the best way to operate these kinds of sites. And judging by the abysmal failure of the Obamacare website, I guess that that is some truth to that. So now then Obama brings out, and again, it's all to cover up, because if you were to go shopping online and see how much these plans were to cost under Obamacare, you'd say forget it. So they want you to see what they would cost, assuming that their tax credit schemes go through, to cover up the inflated price that Obamacare is causing on healthcare plans because of government operations. And this is all, you know, this whole thing rests on young people signing up as well. Young, healthy people signing up for plans that they probably don't need and paying too much for it. That way that the people up at the other end of the stick who are a little bit older, who may need healthcare insurance and who probably either can't get it now for whatever reason or want a better plan, better options, they're going to pay for that. And that's how the system works under Obamacare, and it's all government managed. And you can see how that, you know, I used to say, if you want national socialized medicine in the country, then get used to the BMV lines, because that's what healthcare will be. And that is, in practice here, what we're seeing. Long lines and unmanageable technology here at the government. Again, they had 3 years to roll this out. 3 years to roll this out, and this is the best they can do. Well, the other day, Barack Obama trotted out some human props in the Rose Garden and tried to highlight the success stories of Obamacare just within the first three weeks. But the problem is, as Byron York pointed out in the Washington Examiner, after checking the backgrounds of some of these human props standing for Obamacare, that nearly every single person who stood with President Obama had not yet enrolled in the Obamacare exchanges. Byron York writes in the Washington Examiner, for example, a Pennsylvania man named Malik Hassan was in the group. And this is the White House's description of his situation in full. Malik Hassan works at a restaurant in Philadelphia. Hassan, who does not receive coverage through his employer, is looking forward to enrolling for health care coverage this fall. He recently used healthcare.gov to process his application and is waiting for the options for potential plans in Philadelphia. So Malik Hassan is employed, not covered, and has not yet succeeded in finding coverage through Obamacare. But that is what the White House's estimation of an Obama success story is. Someone, I guess, who has hope to one day get through to the website and finally sign up. Even on MSNBC, their liberal commentators, Twitterers and bloggers and such, talk about how they had to spend 4 days to try to sign up for this. Well, the list goes on, and example after example of Byron York's claims in the Washington Examiner of the kinds of, quote, success stories that the administration's touting off with these human props. This is a major technical failure of epic proportions. ABC News poll, Washington Post, showed that a majority of Americans believe that the technical issues with Obamacare's website indicate a broader issue with the law overall. And they're right. So we have Consumer Reports stating to stay away from healthcare.gov. The administration obviously is scrambling to try to, you know, put a ribbon on this pit bull here. I mean, you can stick lipstick on a pit bull, but it ain't going to get rhubarb pie. And Obamacare's healthcare.gov website is a perfect example of that. Even the success stories are hardly that. Then we have a story here from CBS LA. Los Angeles Clippers point guard Chris Paul, along with Golden State Warriors point guard Stephen Curry, on Monday urged Californians to sign up for health insurance through the Affordable Care Act. Paul and Curry took part in an event sponsored by Kaiser Permanente with the intention of communicating the message that health insurance and healthy lifestyles are essential. So now we're, you know, the great communicator Barack Obama is trying to rope in NBA stars and sports figures to try to sell Obamacare to people. That's where we're at now. California's Affordable Care Act site, working a bit better than the federal site, that is riddled with breakdowns and malfunctions. But in California, the report continues, some consumers report, though, that they have received notices from their health insurance providers stating that due to the Affordable Care Act, their new policies will run hundreds of dollars more per month than what they're paying now. One California resident said, quote, I feel duped because the president kept saying, if you like your plan, you can keep your plan. Your premiums will be going down. My premium is going up by 40%. That's one person in California. So here's the Obamacare rollout. I hope you feel good about it. You know, this is big government. When we come back, more of the Big Three, more on everything here at the Conservative Underground.
When friends don't stop friends from drinking and driving. Friends die from drinking and driving. Friends die from drinking and friends don't let friends drive drunk.
Kramer, I've been reviewing your work. Quite frankly, it stinks.
Well, I've been having trouble at home, and I'll work harder, nights, weekends, whatever it takes.
No, I don't think that's going to do it. These reports you handed in, it's almost as if you have no business training at all. I don't know what this is supposed to be.
Well, I'm trying to get ahead.
Well, I'm sorry. There's just no way that we could keep you on.
I don't even really work here.
That's what makes this so difficult.
You're listening to The Conservative Underground. I'm Doc White. Thanks for joining us. The abysmal jobs report coming up next and the Obamacare rollout failure. Email me at conservativeunderground1776@gmail.com. We'll be back.
I'm a paramedic, and it may sound silly, but a lot of people are afraid to call me when they're experiencing chest pain or to call 911 if they're with someone experiencing chest pain. You know why? Because they think it would be embarrassing if it were a false alarm. Instead, people risk permanent damage or death because they're afraid they might get a lecture. That's ridiculous. So if you have an uncomfortable pressure, fullness, wheezing, or pain in the center of the chest that lasts more than a few minutes, call me. If you have a pain that spreads to the shoulders, neck, or arms, call me. If you have any discomfort in your chest with lightheadedness, fainting, sweating, nausea, or shortness of breath, call me. If you have any of these symptoms or are with someone who does, dial 911 right away. If it is a false alarm, I'm not going to give you a lecture. I'll be happy to see you. I would much rather treat someone who isn't having a heart attack than to try to save someone who is. To learn more about heart attack warning signs, call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA-1 or visit us on the web at AmericanHeart.org.
Even a chain smoker can quit smoking. In fact, over 36 million former smokers have unchained themselves and quit for good. This free booklet is full of tips on how many of them did it. Call 1-800-4-CANCER. 1-800-4-CANCER. It just might set you free.
Welcome back to the Conservative Underground. Doc White here. Thank you for joining me. We are still being rebroadcast over at the405radio.com. The405radio.com. You can hear this show and other grassroots conservative broadcasts streamed over the internet for free. You can visit my website, which is conservativeunderground1776.blogspot.com, where you can listen to the podcast that is fed through podomatic.com, find all of the show notes and other commentary. I have a Facebook fan page where I interact with a lot of people. It's under Conservative Underground. And you can friend request me, W-Y-T-H-E, Doc Wythe, W-Y-T-H-E, if you'd like as well. You know, this. I just want to touch on this jobs report that came out. It was a bit delayed because of the temporary government slowdown that was initiated by members of the Democrat Party who wanted to defend Obamacare and take a look at the Obamacare rollout to see exactly what it is they're defending. Reality is a bitch for liberals. Well, this jobs report that came out shows that, again, only 148,000 jobs were created in the month of September. Only 148,000 jobs. We need to be double that, if not more than double that, to be creating jobs and businesses truly growing and having an economic recovery, of which we have not had under this president. We have not had an economic recovery under Barack Obama. This is Obama's recession. We passed financial reform, the Dodd-Frank financial reform bill. We passed Obamacare. We passed the stimulus. We've done a lot of different programs that Obama has supported, and it's done nothing for the economic recovery of the United States. I question whether or not we're still in some sort of economic recession in terms of not necessarily the numbers that are reported, because the economy still is growing, but maybe the correct term is malaise. Our feet are stuck in mud. We're not able to keep up with the Joneses. And who are the Joneses? Well, that's the rest of the world right now. Our standard of living is better than most countries, if not every country out there, but we're not keeping pace to where we used to be as a country. And it's because of big government. It's because of Obamanomics. It's because of Obamacare. It's because of excessive regulation. It's because of a belief that those in Washington, D.C. know better than you and I in Main Street, USA, and state capitals all across this republic of ours. Now, we have a jobs report that now indicate that over 90 million people in this country have given up looking for work. They've completely dropped out of the labor force, and that's why the unemployment rate is at 7.2%. It slightly ticked down. Never mind the fact that I believe by this point, it was estimated by the Obama administration that unemployment would be in the low 6th percentile, if not below 6%. Because of the Economic Recovery Act, the stimulus. I mean, is it safe to say now that all of that has been just a slush fund for the Obama administration to pass out infrastructure and work projects around the country? It has done nothing to alleviate the economic malaise that we are in. There are millions of Americans out there who want to work, but they cannot find work or work that pays what their services are worth because of excessive government regulations led by Obamacare. Businesses are skittish on hiring. Read the Beige report that accompanies this jobs report from the Federal Reserve. This is a report where each Federal Reserve branch is surveyed as to what they're finding out from employers in their area about economic outlooks, manufacturing, and such. And there's some good news in there, encouraging news, if anything. But throughout the report is riddled that businesses and business owners and manufacturers are nervous as hell about Obamacare, and that they are nervous about expanding. They cannot hire more people. They cannot expand hours. They are uncertain. There is a cloud of chaos around the economic engines in this country that drive our wealth and our production. Because of government, and too much government, I should say. So that's the jobs report. Thanks to Barack Obama and Obamacare. The Democrats have been running the policy in this country since 2007, and our debt has increased dramatically under Democrat control in Congress and then in the White House starting in 2009. The only reason that we have been able to end $1 trillion budget deficits every year is because of the sequestration, which was an Obama administration idea that they denied, but thought that the Republicans would never allow to have happen because of its impact on defense. And then guess what? The Republicans didn't blink. The sequestration took effect, and Barack Obama's sitting there eating crow. But it's been the one thing that's kept spending under control, and that's because it's one good thing of a Republican House, and there's very few good things you can say over Boehner's leadership as Speaker that have come from a Republican control of that chamber. But that's certainly one of them. So then that brings me to, so that's the jobs report. The Obamacare rollout, an embarrassment. You know, it's like a Southwest Airlines commercial. You want to get away. And let me just say something here about government and business. If this were in the private sector and a business would have rolled out a product like that that would have just absolutely failed to even do anything that it was purported to do, people would be fired. People would be fired and let go. But that doesn't happen in the Obama administration. Kathleen Sebelius still has a job because, well, she tried. All of the people that oversaw this colossal failure are still employed and being paid by our tax dollars despite, what did I hear, $500 million went into this rollout here? Could that possibly be right? Let's just say it was a lot of money. And what do we have to show for? We have a site that doesn't work, can't sign people up. Nobody loses their job. But a guy in the White House, though, who had a fake Twitter account, who was tweeting critical things about the Obama administration and Secretary Kerry, or maybe this guy worked at the State Department, and was tweeting out critical things about the Obama administration and certain figures, he was let go the other day. Someone like that gets let go. But someone who has been absolutely, I mean, think about it. They knew, in at least the Health and Human Services Department, that before this website launched Obamacare, that it was not going to work because it was crashing with limited amounts of people on the test site, the beta site. 200, 300 people, it was crashing. But they opened it anyhow. They knew this was going to be a failure. Yet, what did you spend the last 3 years doing? And of course they're saying, well, the president didn't know. Well, if the president didn't know, then why did he come out and say, hey, there's going to be glitches? Did he just assume that his people were incompetent and the program didn't work? Or did somebody let him know? And if someone let the president know, why didn't he stop it? So now do people out there think it was stupid for Ted Cruz and Mike Lee and others to say, this site ain't ready, this program ain't cooked, we got to delay it? Because I'm going to let you in on a little secret, and this should piss off a lot of Republicans. The Democrats and Barack Obama are going to delay the implementation of the individual mandate. Because if you can't get online to buy the product and your information can't even be processed by the insurance company because of government screw-ups and compatibility with programs between your site and the insurance companies, how can you possibly be fined? And if you're going to delay fining people, then you've delayed the individual mandate. And if you've done all of that, you've violated the law. So someone somewhere in Congress is going to have to delay this thing. And the Obama administration was just too damn stubborn, and the Democrats were too damn stubborn to do it as earlier because the Republicans were asking them to do it. Boy, isn't that the three-year-old treatment right there? Yeah, I know I screwed up, but I'm not going to do anything about it because you told me about it. I'll wait until I decide to do it on mine. That's the height of stubborn and stupidity. And meanwhile, American people's taxpayers' money are being wasted, and people may not even be getting enrolled if they can even get to that point, and the insurance, they may not even be covered. So this is all a frickin' joke, to put it mildly. It's all a joke. So anyhow, Ted Cruz. Was ball-batted over the weekend on the Sunday talk shows by all of the Republican establishment. Yes, he was. He certainly was. This is his fault that the government shut down. This is his fault that all of this stuff is screwed up. And that we lost this and we're embarrassed and this will never happen again. We really saw Mitch McConnell on Face the Deranged, the Schieffer show. And I even saw a local congressman in my neck of the woods ball bat Tea Party conservatives. But there was a Ted Cruz effect. I want to get into that in the next segment here. But we got to take a quickie break, but we'll be back. You're listening to the Conservative Underground. We're going to talk about the Ted Cruz effect, intellectual honesty.
What I remember most is the loneliness I felt. The separation from other people, At the end, drinking was no fun for me. Since I've started to attend AA meetings, the greatest gift is that I've become reconnected. I'm part of life again. I really like myself, and that's wonderful. AA is a miracle in my life. Alcoholics Anonymous. It works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
This is Sheriff Buford D. Justice of Texas.
Texas?
You know, of course, that you're out of your jurisdiction. I suggest that you let my department handle the situation.
That's very comforting. But I'm in a high-speed pursuit. Don't you hear good?
I hear perfectly. The fact that you are a sheriff is not germane to the situation.
The goddamn Germans got nothing to do with it.
What do you say?
Shut up one shit at a time.
All right.
You're listening to The Conservative Underground. I'm Doc Wife. You can email me your comments at conservativeunderground1776@gmail.com. The Ted Cruz Effect, intellectual honesty and breaking some china. Coming up next.
My life was going downhill fast. Everybody was on my case. Now, I kept hoping that life would change real soon. I knew drinking too much messed up my life. A friend suggested I check out AA. It worked. I found myself in an AA group. Finally, I've got my act together. Alcoholics Anonymous. It works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Gosh, Darlene, it sure is amazing how much we have in common.
I know, Larry. We both love three-car pileups. We both were built in Buffalo.
And we both know wearing safety belts helps save thousands of lives.
Yeah, this is fascinating.
Don't mind Vince. He's getting over a bad breakup.
I know. Janet's picking up the pieces, too. They're in here.
I wish they understood it's all worth it to get people to buckle up.
Hey, lacerated lovebirds, I sense a major crush.
You could learn a lot from a dummy. Buckle your safety belt.
Talk about head over heels.
Unfortunately, there is one thing that stands between me and that property. The rightful owners.
80.
30.
50.
Every mile brings us closer.
25.
Every mile in a city near you.
75.
Help us stop diabetes.
100.
Join the Tour de Cure.
60.
Register to ride.
36.
Or sponsor a rider.
50.
Call 1-888-DIABETES or visit us online at diabetes.org/tour. How many miles will you ride?
25.
Welcome back to the Conservative Underground. Thank you. I want to talk about the Ted Cruz effect, intellectual honesty, and breaking some china here on the Conservative Underground. And this is how I want to set this up. You know, from time to time, political parties and political movements need a recalibration. That the old guard, the people that have been in charge for a period of time, not that they're bad people, but that it's just that their time has come and gone, and it's time for new leadership. New leadership that is committed to principle, committed to whatever particular ideology, and we've seen this on the liberal side, Democrat Party. But I think it's time, again, that we see it on the Republican side. You know, in 1978, 1980, Newt Gingrich and a lot of upstart, conservative-minded, revolutionary congresspeople who were committed to Reagan conservatism were elected to the United States Congress and some even in the United States Senate. And they proceeded to shake things up and break some china. The Republican establishment was very content with being in, as a minority party. They had been so for 35 or 40 years, and they were just happy to pick up the table scraps that people like Tip O'Neill and Robert Byrd and other leaders of the Democrat Party in Congress were to give them. They were just content. Well, there was a movement there spurred on by Ronald Reagan of some young gun conservatives that said, hey, we can take the majority here. But in order to do so, they had to shake things up within their own party. They had to break some china. And next thing, and wouldn't you know it, lo and behold, 15 years later, the Republican Revolution of 1994 took hold, and this group of people took the Congress of the United States And 6 years after that, we took the White House. Now, there were some squandered opportunities, obviously, during the George W. Bush administration. But along the way, we were able to accomplish a lot from that 94 Republican Revolution, balancing the budget, getting spending under control, welfare reform, and the byproduct of which the American economy was unleashed. And we had a huge peacetime post-Cold War expansion in this country. But now we're faced, again, 20 years later or so, with another situation where it's time that we break some china. It's time that these young conservatives that are committed to the cause and the Reagan Revolution spirit, the Reagan Brigades, the proud foot soldiers of the conservative movement, go into Washington, D.C. and break a little china. You see, that's what happens to people who stay in office too long. They become part of the problem. They may be, in their mind, intellectually committed to the conservative cause, but they begin to default to a management style instead of a containment and a reform and a reduce philosophy, which is conservatism. It's really a way of life. It's not based in government regulation or government programs, much like liberalism is. It's belief, it's ingrained in our way of life and personal liberties and individual freedoms. And that's really where we're at today. I think that the Republican Party at the federal level is where it was in the late 70s and early 80s, at a point where people like Ted Cruz and Mike Lee and Marco Rubio, to a point, and Rand Paul, and many of the others in the Senate and in the House of Representatives, are need to break some china. And we're seeing pushback, much like we saw in the early 80s from the Bob Dole and the Bob Michael wing, the Howard Baker wing of the Republican Party. They've become content with their lot in life, their position. They'll make the speeches and the talking points, but there's very little fight. They've just, in some instances, been there too long. That's why I take a look at Kentucky in the Mitch McConnell primary next year as an opportunity for us to replace some well-intentioned people who served their purpose and whose time has come, and perhaps we can replace Mitch McConnell with another young gun upstart conservative from a red state. But this is about intellectual honesty, ladies and gentlemen. And that's what Ted Cruz and Mike Lee were fighting about. They weren't fighting to shut down the government or to inflict pain on people. That's what Barack Obama was doing by shutting down the World War II Memorial, by shutting down the National Mall, except to his illegal amnesty buddies and their rally. That's what he did when he shut down the parks. He instilled fear in the American people by hinting around that we would default on our debt when he can't default on the debt unless he chooses to not make the payment. It wasn't Ted Cruz and Mike Lee that were installing fear in the American people. It was Barack Obama, Harry Reid, and the Liberal Democrats, because they wanted you to feel just exactly how powerful government can be. Well, a government that can be so powerful to inflict pain the moment it doesn't get what it wants is too big and too powerful for me. You know, it wasn't, and Mitch McConnell, and I have a local congressman here that's an establishment who thinks he's a conservative, going around ball batting, it was a stupid idea, stupid stuff. People were behaving stupidly. Jeb Bush says, you know, people like Ted Cruz need to sit down and give it a rest. You know, it wasn't Ted Cruz that was in the United States Senate passing out kickbacks and special deals when they wanted Obamacare to be passed. It was the Liberal Democrats, and he's fighting against that. It wasn't Ted Cruz who was trying to manipulate the Constitution and the rules of Congress to get this thing passed. It was the Liberal Democrats. But there are Republicans who feel that it isn't proper at this time to try to beat the program. Just let it crumble. That's one approach. Well, the American people will see that it'll crumble. But at what expense? What expense to our country and to the real lives of people? If you see an injustice, you must fight to stop it immediately. Extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. It's amazing. The media jumped on Ted Cruz. The media jumped on Mike Lee. The Tea Party. We're all evil people. When all we are doing is trying to fight for fiscal sanity in this country, to bring attention to a $17 trillion debt, to a federal government that is too big and beyond the consent of the governed and unsustainable, and that we have another entitlement that'll cost trillions of dollars, that's unworkable, that will punish people and hurt jobs, or cut jobs, and Obamacare. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to sit back and let it fail when it will, just because some people tell me that that should be the strategy. I want to stop it. We need a little bit of intellectual honesty in this country. And that was part of the big three, the other big three, the Ted Cruz effect. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, we're not just sitting here attacking something for the sake of attacking it. There are alternatives, but they're not being discussed. The media certainly isn't helping matters. We never had a true health care reform discussion when Obamacare was going on. We were just told to shut up, sit down, eat our cake. This is good for you. But we're finding out how it's good. You know, some positive things. Look, there are people out there with mental illness. There are people out there that can't afford coverage. People out there, we need to do something to help those people. But government shouldn't be the institution called on to help them. Every single time, all the time. You know, people's health care should not be dependent upon their employment status. Why can't people in this country be empowered by the government through maybe tax credits or friendlier tax policies, or how about just less taxes, to be able to purchase their own health care that they own? When you want it, go buy it. And start to get government the hell out of the way. People in Ohio could buy a plan from Delaware. People in Montana could buy a plan from New York. People in New York could buy a plan from, Texas. And you have control over it. They talk about marketplaces and choices. This is the ultimate choice. You, the people. And put ourselves in charge of our retirement accounts. Tell Social Security, thanks. You provided a benefit for a population that needed it at a particular point in time. It served its purpose. Now it's time to repurpose the mission of Social Security and let us, we the people, have more control over our retirement. Take some of that money that is taken from our paychecks by the federal government and let us have control over it for our own investments. Put control of our lives back in the people, but have a social safety net there if you'd like. But on a temporary basis, you know, we talk a lot about Medicaid expansion. Yeah, I want to help people. Who doesn't want to help people? If we continue to have all these arguments on the narrative that one side wants to help people and the other side could care less, we're never going to reach common ground. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the best way to get a bang for our buck. Talk about Medicaid expansion. Well, how about the people that have been under Medicaid? How long have they been there? Do they anticipate to leave the program? What's the quality of their life inside of this Medicaid program? The people that are on food stamps, do they ever get off food stamps? I mean, we saw the big welfare tornado down in Louisiana. Did you hear about this? I'm looking over at my chief of staff, Brett Myers, here at Broadcast Park in the posh Studio A. Did you hear about the welfare tornado? So apparently, the EBT system nationwide or in certain regions went out. In my home state, it went down, but you couldn't use it. Well, apparently in Louisiana, it went down, and people were still able to use it under no limits. It's just like a credit card. You got a $5,000 limit. Well, that limit's gone. But with the EBT card, you never have to worry about paying what you take out. It's a government entitlement. It's a benefit. So once word got out, all of these people who claim that they probably can't move very fast or have a job sprung and leaped into action and cleared the shelves in certain Walmart stores in the state of Louisiana. The welfare tornado. And then in some instances where some folks were able to check out with all of these goods that they didn't have. I mean, there was people down there with 35 cents or $1.50 on their EBT card, and they walked out of there with $200-$300 worth of stuff. Well, when word came out that the program was back up and running, did the people put back the free shit they were trying to basically steal? Nah, they just left everything in carts and walked out of the store and let the employees clean up their mess. Is food stamps and social programs helping those people? Obviously not, if that's the kind of mentality that you have. But we never do a reevaluation of these government programs. We never take a look at the people administering their programs. Are they doing their job? Are these programs having the intended effect that we sought out through their creation? That's the national conversation that needs to happen, but it won't. We just expand and grow. We'll be right back.
Tough economic times. Even a trip to the grocery store means balancing healthy family meals with the need to keep expenses down. For a healthy, balanced diet, you need a good mixture of protein, carbohydrates, veggies, and whole grains. Keeping your costs low means cutting back on restaurant food and most prepared food in grocery stores. A whole chicken goes for only about $2 a pound. A pound of beans will set you back a whole $1.50. Potatoes! Look at these complex carbs at 89 cents a pound. What this means is cooking. Bust out those cookbooks. And remember, the best part of home cooking is the leftovers. Don't ignore packaged foods entirely. You can find great deals on items like albacore tuna and bristling sardines, which are not only cheap, but a great source of protein and essential fatty acids. Visit cheapcooking.com or sardinediet.com.
Hey, Sam. Hey, back from the Denise Decathlon, huh? Got another gold medal in the broad jump?
Yeah, you got a big mouth, Clayton.
Hey, happens to be right, you know. Yeah, it's a genetic quirk in the Clayton family that we all have two extra teeth. Hey, you see, that's the only way that we can prove that we are the rightful heirs to the Russian throne.
Hello in there, Cliff. Tell me, what color is the sky in your world?
You're listening to the Conservative Underground, Doc White here. You know, this Obamacare rollout, it can be pegged on a lot of things. Negligence is being one. But this could be another scandal, another Obama scandal. Scandal
if a fire breaks out in your home while you're asleep, how will you know? Smoke and heat build quickly, making every second count. A working smoke alarm can alert you to the danger and make the difference between life and death. Install and maintain a smoke alarm on every level of your home. Replace the battery every year. This message is brought to you by the United States Fire Administration, your local fire department, and this radio station.
What if we got rewarded for every good decision?
Dinner. Meal needs a vegetable. Check.
Amazing!
Vegetables cooked with a healthier oil instead of butter?
Fantastic!
Replacing bad fats with healthier fats like those in canola or vegetable oil is good for your heart. Take up the challenge for good health because the you of the future will say,
fantastic!
Visit heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info proudly supports the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Welcome back here to the Conservative Underground. Final segment here, Doc White, talking to you all. Thank you very much for joining us. We have talked about the Obamacare rollout. We've talked about the abysmal jobs report, all a part of our big three news stories. And finally, those are our big three news stories. I think it's safe to say. But now it's time to enter into the fun-filled world of our headline segment. Well, if you have listened to the mainstream, lamestream media, you will notice that Alan Grayson compared the Tea Party, Congressman Alan Grayson of Florida, compared the Tea Party in a fundraising email to the Ku Klux Klan. He put a picture of a burning cross representing the letter T and then spelled out, using that cross as the letter T, Tea Party. And in the letter, he asked for money to take on those in the Tea Party. And then at the end, he says, now we know what the T stands for. And in the picture of the burning cross were members of Klan dressed in their white robes in the background. Now that's the compassionate liberal left, I guess, on full display. High class. You know, if there was no such thing as low class, he'd have no class. Two IRS officials commute to work by airplane. That should make you feel good. You know, the IRS, which was brought under the microscope by congressional investigations as it relates to targeting of Tea Party groups for tax-exempt status. Well, now it comes out that two IRS officials commute to work by plane. This is reported by Elena Johnson over at the National Review Online. IRS public officials racking up extremely high travel expenses in 2011 and 2012, according to a report from the Treasury Department's Inspector General, J. Russell George. If that name sounds familiar, he's the guy that also issued a report exposing the extent to which the IRS was targeting these Tea Party groups. The report indicates that these executives work primarily in Washington, D.C., but live elsewhere and fly to D.C. routinely. In 2012 and 2011, 12 IRS executives spent over 200 days traveling each year. In some cases, the number of travel days they logged actually exceeded the number of business days in the calendar because they remained in travel status on weekends and holidays, getting, no doubt, comp time. An IRS source told the National Review Online that at least two of the executives commuting to D.C. by plane work at the highest echelons of the agency. They include Beth Tucker, one of two deputy commissioners, and Laurel Cummings, the director of compliance, strategy, and policy for the Affordable Care Act. Well, isn't that nice? Both live in Texas, but work primarily in Washington, D.C. Tucker reports directly to the IRS commissioner, and Cummings reports to Sarah Hall Ingram, the director of the IRS office responsible for the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. So obviously they've done good work. It should be noted that Tucker came under fire in a House Oversight Committee hearing when she was grilled about her knowledge of the agency's targeting of Tea Party groups. Meanwhile, she gets to live in Texas and fly on a taxpayer-funded commute to work. That's nice. The American taxpayer, of course, is footing the bill for their costly commutes. The IRS most frequent travelers cost taxpayers over $1.2 million in 2011 and $1.1 million in 2012. So, you know, that's how the other half lives, on our dime, so to speak. Then we have another story here. This involves the IRS yet again. Now, keep in mind, these are the people that are going to be in charge with doling out the tax credits, aka government subsidies, for Obamacare. The IRS paid as much as $13.6 billion in bogus claims for the earned income tax credit last year, according to a report the agency's internal auditor released. The Treasury Inspector General, again, J. Russell George. Now, this is a busy guy. If you have to be in charge of inspecting the IRS for improper behavior, you're going to be busy. The Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration said it wanted the IRS in 20 warned the IRS in 2011 that it was making the erroneous payments. But 2 years later, the agency hasn't fixed the problem. Now, if the IRS comes knocking at your door and says, hey, your tax returns from last year don't mesh, do you get 2 years to continue screwing around with the IRS? Highly unlikely. Over the last decade, and this is reported by Stephen Denon of the Washington Times, over the last decade, the IRS could have paid out as much as $132 billion in improper payments. The Inspector General said the IRS has made little improvement in reducing improper earned income tax credit payments as a whole since it had been required to report estimates of these payments to Congress. The IRS acknowledges that further reductions in the earned income tax credit improper payment rate will be difficult to achieve. Investigators said the IRS is still violating an executive order President Obama signed in 2009 telling agencies to come up with ways to reduce improper payments. So they just don't give a rip. At the end of the day, they were told about this and they don't care. They're just going to continue to do what the higher ups in Washington and of the liberal intelligentsia are telling them to do. Now, it's no accident that they kept this program going in 2012 because that helps the president. You have people that are receiving tax credits, earned income tax credits, sometimes in the neighborhood of $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 when they don't even qualify. That looks pretty good for a president who's running for re-election now, doesn't it? Yeah, it sure as hell does. For those of you low information people, the earned income tax credit is designed to transfer money to the working poor through the tax system. But as an analyst said, it is a complex program that is difficult to check for eligibility. Well, great. And that's wonderful. Bogus payments can include those that never should have been paid or were paid out in the wrong amount. According to the audit, the improper payments accounted for between 21 and 25% of all claims. That means between 11 billion and 13 billion was misspent. They just don't care. And now the IRS is going to be put in charge, ladies and gentlemen, of administering the tax credits subsidies for Obamacare. And the Republicans made a big deal in this agreement between Mitch McConnell and moderate Democrats to reopen the government about requiring reports from the IRS to Congress to check the eligibility of people receiving the subsidies. Well, la-di-frickin-da, that was done in 2009 by the president in an executive order, and they ignored it. I tell you, sometimes I don't know. I shake my head. None of this should surprise, really, I guess, anybody at the end of the day. Well, that's about all the time that we have, though, for this broadcast. I wish we could have got to some other headlines. Some of them were pretty good, like the groom that called in a bomb threat to the catering company because he forgot to book them.
The party's over. They say that all.
Yeah, maybe we'll get to that. I'll post it on the Facebook fan page. I'm Doc Wythe, and as always, may the road rise up to meet you, may the wind always be at your back, and may the sun shine warm upon your face and rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hands. Good day, everybody.